Try that. All right. If you would please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. I want to publicly thank, and I don't want to embarrass him, but I want to publicly thank Todd Meef. Todd, thanks again for doing the parking lot. Appreciate it. Very nice. Yep. Well, we're turning to Luke chapter 2. How is Christmas like bad knitters? How are Christmas trees like bad knitters? Now, the ladies that do down here should know this. Well, you both lose your needles. What did the bald man say when he got a comb for Christmas? I'll never part with it. And then if athletes get athlete's foot, what do astronauts get? Mistletoe. Yeah. So, any more? No, you don't want to hear no more. Luke chapter 2. Let's start with verse 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. I don't think we could shout that loud enough for how it really sounded. Can you imagine the whole sky and the earth full of those words, Glory to God in the highest? And it came to pass, verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, and the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they that heard wondered of those things which were told of them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. We thank you for a beautiful day with brand new snow, sunshine, no wind. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And we can't thank you enough for blessing us day after day after day. And we thank you for sending your son, Lord Jesus Christ, to be born in a manger and to live a life as a man with no sin and then to die on a cross for us. We thank you, Lord, for that. Help us to be ever mindful of how much you love us and how much you care for us. We pray that this message be a blessing to each and every one of us. We thank you for your word that we can preach from, teach from, read from, and we know that is absolutely true. We thank you for being truthful with us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. A sign. Let's look at... we'll do that again. A sign is a token. A sign is something by which another thing is shown or represented. We see in verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Any visible thing, an emotion, appearance, or event which indicates the existence or approach of something else. Whether it be a street sign or a sign that someone's going to behave is when he says, okay. Something that lets us know what's going to happen in the future. Shown or represented. Let's say, for instance, if a stranger came in from North Dakota and he asked where the governor's office was, you would say, give him a sign. You say, hey, go to Helena. And when you go to Helena, look over to your left and you'll see this great big building. And it's got a dome on top of it. That's the Capitol building. And that's a sign where the governor, you walk in the office and the governor will be in that building. Now, if you miss that building, don't see it. Keep driving and do a grid and you'll come to this flower. These flowers, you guys know the flowers. What does it say? Montana on those flowers. My little brother, for 2 years in high school, he used to plant those flowers. That's when they didn't look very good. And so when you see the flower bed that says Montana and the dome that's lit up, that's a sign that the governor will be there, and he'll be on the office on the first floor with a press suit and tie. He'll be surrounded by advisors, appointees, and chair members. And there you will find the governor. We see verse 11 and 12. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Instead of in Helena, the sign was he's in Bethlehem. And there'll be a babe instead of a grown man at the capital. He'll be in swaddling clothes instead of a press suit. And he'll be lying in a manger as opposed to the governor found in his first floor office. The three things we'll look today are Jesus Christ as a babe, Jesus Christ in swaddling clothes, and Jesus Christ our Lord lying in a manger. First of all, when it says here, in verse 12, you shall find the babe. We see Jesus Christ, his humanity. He's a baby. Like we said last week, when the Son of God left heaven and come to earth, he left his glory in heaven, but he did not leave his deity. Jesus Christ is still God, but Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 reads that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. And when we see the babe, when the angel told the shepherds that the sign shall be unto you that there'll be a babe, we see Jesus Christ as a human being, his humanity. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 reads, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. We see his humanity, the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Here's this little baby, he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. We see his helplessness. The newborn at that time were wrapped in little strips and bound in bands of cloth to protect them. There was no incubators. We had a great uncle who was born at Big Sandy. He was born in a wagon box. There wasn't even a wagon box back then, but Jesus Christ was wrapped in swaddling clothes. They would wrap the arms and legs separately and then wrap the body, and he looked like a little mummy. We see here that Jesus Christ was helpless. We see his helplessness wrapped in swaddling clothes. And finally, in verse 12, it says, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, his humility. Jesus Christ was laid in a feed bin, a feed trough. I was telling Sunday school teachers, when you get my aunt and uncle over in Charlotte, they ran cows, but they had bought an old dairy farm in that big barn. And that manger in that barn is probably 30 or 40 foot long. And it's made out of 2x12s. Because the dairy cows get in there and feed. And so it's not wrong to have a little manger in a manger scene. But we get the idea that a manger was this little itty bitty thing that could get knocked down very easily by cows. In fact, we had a manger scene growing up. You know, the plastic wise men and the plastic Mary and Joseph. And then my dad built this little manger deal, put straw in it. He built this little stable. He had it down on the road. And guess what happened on Christmas Day? Somebody stole baby Jesus. That's the spirit of the holidays, isn't it? Steal baby Jesus. Why would you steal? If you stole baby Jesus because you want to celebrate Christmas, how could you do it with a good conscience? It's just funny. And if you're going to steal baby Jesus, why not steal everybody so that little baby Jesus isn't alone? I mean, it's just, everything was there except for the little baby Jesus. But we see the little manger, you know. But a manger was a crude feed trough. In fact, it was made of stone. The majority of them were made of, that's what's on the brochure this morning, is a manger. We see Jesus Christ being born in a manger, his humility. This little baby Jesus lying forgotten in an exposed stable, resting in a feeding trough, is God's appointed sign, not only to the shepherds, but to all of us. This is Jesus the Christ. This is Jesus the Savior. And nothing about this little baby Jesus in a feed trough appeared supernatural. If we didn't know any better, if we didn't have the Word of God and we were in Bethlehem at this time, we would conclude that this little bitty baby was just a baby boy born of poor parents who didn't find any room at the inn and they just made do. What do we learn about Jesus Christ lying in a manger? Well, that he was born in humility. Philippians chapter 2 says, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of a man. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death, the death of the cross." Jesus Christ was born lowly in a manger. In a stable. So we've seen his humanity, his helplessness, his humility. And from just these two verses, 11 and 12, let's read these. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." So first of all, Christ is born unto you. Not just the shepherds, but Christ is born to each and every one of you. His purpose was to take your sins and be a sinful flesh and take your place on the cross and pay your penalty for sin. Jesus Christ is born unto you. This day in the city of David, a Savior. Jesus Christ is born unto you. He was born a Savior to deliver you from sin. Jesus Christ is Lord. It says, "Which is Christ the Lord?" This Jesus Christ was not just a little Jewish baby boy. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And he is coming again. He is Lord. We see Jesus Christ wrapped in swaddling clothes. Once again, his helplessness. He was born as a baby, as a human being, his humanity. And he's born in a stable, in a manger, his humility. And these verses look, these talk about the birth of Christ, but also these verses here, verse 12, 11 and 12, look forward to the work of Christ on the cross, the death of Jesus Christ. His humanity, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And because he was born flesh, in Hebrews chapter 4, it says he was tempted at all points as we are, and yet without sin. And that's why Jesus Christ can redeem us from sin, because he's been there. He's not sinned, but he's been tempted as we are. And he's able to comfort us in our sin. He knows what temptation is. A babe lying in a manger. His humanity. And his helplessness, he was bound, we said. What do we learn from the binding of baby Jesus in John chapter 18, verse 12? After the garden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and afterward, it says, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. He was bound, our Lord and Savior, the Christ, Emmanuel, was bound before the soldiers, bound before the guards as a common criminal. He was falsely accused when he was bound, and he made no reply. He was hated, he was mocked, and he refused to answer. Because it was because of you. He's born unto you. He didn't make an answer. One might say, well, he didn't have to go to the cross. Well, he had to go to the cross in order for our sins to be forgiven. But he was capable of not going to the cross. But he allowed himself to be bound. And he stood before his accusers with his hands tied, and he waited the verdict that would end his life. And it's no coincidence whatsoever that he entered this world just like he left it, bound for us. We see his humility lying in a manger. We'll look at our bulletins again. That is a manger hewn out of stone. And when Jesus Christ was in that manger, cold, damp, hard and dirty, he was alive. Can you imagine a little baby alive and vibrant and wiggly with red rosy cheeks? And he was taken out of that manger to be held and to be fed. And 33 years later, they placed him in a tomb hewn out of stone. But instead of being alive and vibrant and wiggly, he was dead and tortured and beaten and bruised and pierced and bloody. He was unrecognizable when he was placed in that tomb hewn out of stone. That brings us to Jesus Christ himself as a person. See, Christianity and eternal life is not about a Baptist church. It is not about any Baptist church. It is not about any church. It is not about a system of beliefs. It is not about working or doing good. Christianity is about the person, Jesus Christ. When you take Christ out of Christianity, you have nothing. And so this Jesus Christ, who was laid in that tomb, hewn out of stone, it would have been all over had it not been for who he was. God Almighty. And he arose from the dead. And I like that old song we sing at Easter. It says, low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior. Up from the grave he arose with mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, I can't go that high. He arose. My Savior arose out of that cool, dark, damp, hard grave hewn of stone. And we see the manger here hewn out of stone as a reminder, as a foreshadow of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, how he died for our sins, how he was buried for 3 days and three nights, yea, how he arose again from the dead according to the scriptures, the gospel, the pure unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we got kids come over to ride the mules. And I would say 9 times out of 10, kids being kids, hold their nose and go, wait a minute, they hit the corral. Ooh, gross, look at that. And you know, I don't have to get into details. But you know, I tell them it just comes with the territory. I tell them, it's that gross, you don't have to be here. It comes with the territory. I say that to say this, is that Jesus Christ was born uniquely. He was born in the line of David. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born of Virgin Mary. But he was born in a stable. He was not born like the rest of us were born, maybe in a hospital and then placed up in the incubator or in the nursery with the rest of the other kids. Jesus Christ was born in a stable with the same full of feces and then placed in a manger. And it's no wonder the world missed him. It's no wonder people walked by. I don't know how many people, I don't know how late it was at night. Maybe they had a live at 5 up there, and there were loads of people walking by back home after a live at 5. Walked right past the Savior of the world. They missed him then, and it's no wonder the world misses him today. If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your Savior, without faith you can read the Christmas story like we did. Without faith you can come to 100 Christmas programs. Without faith you can sing a dozen Christmas carols. Without faith, you can give 1,000 Christmas gifts and receive that many more and still miss Jesus Christ. You can not only miss Jesus Christ, but you can miss the victory over death. Jesus Christ was born unto you so that you would not have to die in eternal death, separated from God in a place called hell. Jesus Christ was born unto you that you might live victoriously over death and reign with Jesus Christ forevermore. Why does the world pass by and overlook and miss the greatest birth, the greatest life, the greatest death, and the resurrection of the greatest person that ever lived on earth? Why do people miss it? Why do they pass by? Because of the simplicity of the gospel. Because it's so simple. How many times have you had something go wrong in the vehicle, and you're working on the vehicle, and you're checking this, you're checking that, doing this and doing that, and get the probe out here, and checking the continuity here and all that, and it's a fuse. Anybody been there? Yeah. Or it's a ground. It's a stupid ground. We missed it. Trying to make something more than it was. And people miss Jesus Christ and they miss eternal life because it's simple. Remember our analogy about a sign about the governor's mansion. What if someone says, if you want to decide, give me a sign for eternal life. And we told them, oh, the sign for eternal life is you go up to the Capitol, and there's going to be a great big gala, and there's going to be orchestra, and there's going to be great big Christmas trees. There's going to be noise. There's going to be bells. There's going to be whistles. There's going to be great big feasts. And you'll get rewarded for all your great accomplishments. I think the majority of the world would run to something like that. But when God says to have your sins forgiven and eternal life, He says, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's too simple. And people pass by the simplicity of the gospel. just like they passed by the birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. The gospel is very simple. Number one, and I think we can all agree, we're all sinners. We've all disobeyed. We know really deep down who we are. And the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. The payback for that sin is death, eternal separation from God. But the gift of God, speaking of gifts of Christmas, but the gift, God has a gift for you this morning. And that gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And how does one get that gift? By faith. It's not by going to the extravaganza uptown and doing great things. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. Oh dear God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin, and I'm trusting Jesus Christ to forgive me. I'm trusting that He paid my payment for sin on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Simple. Simple. Did I say simple? Simple. The verse that a lot of us know all too well. In fact, it's some big-time wrestler got it tattooed on his forehead or his shoulder, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Remember, God so loved the world, unto you a Savior is born, the world. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, lying in a manger. A babe lying in a manger. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him, trust, faith, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Simple. Simple. Therefore, being justified by faith, it's not by going to church. It's not by doing great things. It's not by being the best person we can be. It's not by giving. It's not by helping out the poor. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to have an invitation here. We at Liberty Baptist Church want you to know that salvation is a free gift. It's a simple, free gift from God unto you. Because the Bible says so. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. That's directed toward us as believers, that verse. You see, when they had seen these things concerning the child, they made known abroad the saying which was told them. They did not hesitate. They did not have to be poked or prodded or scurried along. They did it on their own volition because they appreciated, they were grateful for seeing the babe lying in the manger in the city of David, their Savior. And I've got to ask this question. When was the last time we as believers shared that gift with someone? Was it yesterday? Last week? Last month? Last summer? When was the last time we shared that free gift with somebody? When was the last time we thanked God for that free gift? I mean, truly thankful. Not a ho-hum, yeah, I'm saved, praise God. So be it. I mean, really thank God. Here's the deal for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior. We generally as people, we generally set very little value. Listen very close. We set very little value on that which costs us nothing. That cost Jesus his life on the cross. Terrible. Terrible. That's why if we could ever work for our sin, there's no way. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have to die such a terrible, cruel death. We get hurt, we get bruised, and we get a cut, and it hurts. Some of us get surgery, and it hurts. But can you imagine Jesus Christ? We set very little value on that which costs us nothing. When was the last time we shared that gift? When was the last time we thanked God for that free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, the babe lying in a manger? Maybe today during the invitation, we can come thank Him. You can thank Him for that gift and maybe ask Jesus to give you opportunity and the strength and the courage to seize that opportunity and to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, this can be the greatest Christmas you've ever had. When I first got saved, someone asked me, well, do you still believe in Christmas? Oh, all the more. I don't believe in Christmas. I believe in Christ of the Christmas. And He saved my soul. And He washed me clean. And He gave me the peace that passes all understanding. And I am free. And I'm going to heaven because of Him. Oh, won't you come this morning? Won't you come just simply say, man, I know I'm a sinner. That's a given. Oh, Jesus, won't you save me? Someone will show you. I'll show you in the Bible how simple it is to know you have eternal life. We'll sing a song. Won't you come? Page 17 this morning. Page 17. Thank you. It's just overwhelming when you realize how good God is to us. And I pray that I get overwhelmed not just once a day or once a week. I pray I get overwhelmed a lot because God is that good and He is worthy to be praised. Amen. So we should thank God every moment of the day for giving us Jesus. Brother Rick, would you close us in prayer, please? Praise God. Thank you. Merry Christmas.